thanks for this time of worship. You're all we need. You're all we need. In your name we pray. Amen. Pastor Ben.
Good morning. Thank you for braving the weather today and being with us. And we also want to welcome those who are online and participating. And man, it's just good to be a church. Good to be part of God's family, isn't it? Amen. You know, we come together and our focus is hopefully God and spending time with God and in His presence and also being around His table and loving on each other. And one of those ways that we get to love on each other is by praying and praying for our brothers and sisters and praying that God will change our community. That God will use us to be the feet and the hands of His love. And one of those things that we're going to do right now, we're going to bow our heads and we're going to lift up God and we're going to lift up people in our hearts right now that we know needs God's touch. That we know right now they're in a place that's not healthy. Whether that's spiritual, physical, wherever they are. Right now, this is our chance to lift them up. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for being here. For loving us. For allowing us to be a part of you. Lord, I pray that everybody right now in this room and online joining knows they belong to you. That you love them right where they're at. Whether they're alone or depressed or hurting or full of anxiety or if they're just full of joy right now, dear Lord, that they just know that you love them right where they're at. Lord, I lift up the camps. I lift up Charlie and I lift up Gloria right now. Just touch them. We pray for your healing. We pray for the doctors to have the answers. We pray for that family. And we continue to lift up Tom Stone, dear Lord. Just pray that he gets healthy and that the doctors can figure out what's going on there. Lord, we thank you that you surround us with a family that's not blood, but is bought in the blood. We thank you for that. Lord, I pray that we learn what it means to be the church that you've called us to be. Lord, I pray for all the distractions to be wiped away. I pray that that you speak through me and that even through my failures and even though I might stumble while I'm up here, dear Lord, that you use this and that you are glorified above all. We give you all the praise this morning. Amen. Well, good morning. Again, welcome. I'm glad you're here this morning. God is good. You know what I did? I've already made one mistake. I love it. I didn't bring up my Bible, which is kind of need that, don't you? When you're preaching, I think. Maybe. Thank you. Sweet. So, it's Valentine's, and I do really bad at that. Luckily, my wife doesn't care. At least that's what she tells me. All right? We've been married how long? I'm testing you. Huh? 19 years. Whew. I thought it was a lot longer than that. It's going to be a long night now. Great. And I will say that I have stumbled around as being a husband for 19 years, trying to learn what it is to be a husband and to show her love. And the one thing I am grateful for is that she's not one of those ones, which is all right if you are, but she doesn't care about the flowers or the candy. If I did show up, I think she would say, "Why are you wasting our money?" Is what she, am I right? Yeah? Okay. All right. Still testing the waters. It's been 19 years. I'm still learning. But I do know this with Valentine. She'd rather see me do chores for her and complete things around the house. And then that means I love her. So I'm still learning that, too. I try to avoid chores as much as I can. I don't know. I'm thinking about the hand surgeries, Jay. I think that's a great plan. You got to listen to Jay with that. All right. Anyway, in planning past Valentine's, I you go to restaurants, and I don't know about you, but I like to look up the app called Yelp. Anybody know what Yelp is? It shows you restaurants, places to go, anything that's consumer-based. You look that up, right? And you can leave comments. I kind of enjoy reading the comments. There's a lot of restaurants in Decatur that I won't go to anymore, primarily because they got shut down after we left. I've had since I lived in Decatur, 3 restaurants. The day that we went, the health department came in right after and shut them down. Yeah, my stomach, whoo! I don't know if it was a head thing, but it was just crazy, right? So I thought it would be fun. One of my favorite restaurants to go is my mom's. Weird, right? So I registered my mom's house, her kitchen, on Yelp. And I decided to start leaving some Yelp reviews. All right? I'm not going to tell you what I named the restaurant because I don't want you looking it up. And really, I didn't do it. All right? But I thought I would leave some Yelp reviews and just say, hey, you know, this week she did really all right with the presentation of the food. I feel like she didn't put much effort into it. We had pizza. I was kind of disappointed. And then another week I left a review saying I was kind of disappointed in how she folded my laundry. It wasn't warm and crisp when I got it. I was kind of disappointed in that. So I left a couple of these reviews, and then I would screenshot it and send it to my mom, and of course she would cry. Mom, I'm just kidding. I want you to know she's been watching, and I will say, okay, I love my mom. I love her to death. She's already been like, what books can I buy you? You need help. Thanks, Mom. Thank you. All right? Love it. Anyway, so I've left a couple of reviews, and no, nobody would do that with their parents, right? It wouldn't go well. If my mom saw that I actually had started a Yelp and put her house down as a place to go for service, like get your laundry needs done here and get your food here and all this jazz, like one of the things I thought about writing up was how Tom wouldn't let me sit in his Lazy Boy, so I had the best shot of watching TV. Like I thought I would, which Tom is my stepdad, I thought I would just write that and see how that would go. Yeah, that doesn't go good. And that's not why I go to my mom's. It's not, right? It's like I kind of get the, like some people are like, this guy's a jerk. I don't go to my mom's for those reasons. It's nice to have, but that's not why I go to my mom. I love my mom. And I love Tom, her husband. I love them. And I go there to be with them. Now, I love being able to eat. I love that I guarantee you this is who my mom is. If I did bring laundry, if I had needs, my mom would be like, she would drop everything in a heartbeat and be like, okay, I'll get it done. And that's her joy, right? My wife's like, you know, that's not who I am. I don't look for that. I don't find joy in that, right, honey? 19 years, yes, right? I go to my mom's and Tom's because I love them. I care about them, and I want to be with them. And when we sit around the table, it doesn't even really matter what they make or what they bought. It's about being with them, right? I hope that's what it's about. I hope when my family sits around the table and I made them a meal and they can say, oh, that was the worst meal ever. Yeah, they can say that, but it's really about sitting around the table and loving on each other. Right? Can you imagine going to your parents' house or to a friend's house and you have this mentality of, what am I going to get out of this? Can you imagine that? Like sitting down, what am I going to get out of this? We don't normally go to places that are friends and family with that mentality, I hope. Really, I hope I go to my mom's or anybody's house with, how can I love in this moment? Somewhere along the way with church, we flip this around in the wrong way, especially with our relationship with God. And we come to church with, what can I get out of God? And that's not a healthy relationship. It needs to be almost, how can I love God today? As I show up today, this morning, how can I show God how much I love Him? One of the weird things that I've noticed in Google is you can Google review churches. Such an odd thing to review a church, right? It's weird to say, well, their song selections are horrible, and the sermon, the guy up there, he talks too much about his mom, and it's just really odd. And by the time I step in, I'm ready to step out, like one star. Like, that's a weird aspect to think about, right? That's not what church is. And I think for me, when doing my research on church, the moment that church gained an address is the moment that the church itself became the idol. The moment that the church has an address, we lost some of our heart of who we are. Do you know what church, the Greek word, I'm not going to say the Greek word because I'm just going to butcher it, but it kind of meant movement. A group coming together to move together. Can you imagine that mentality coming together this morning saying, I'm going to love God, how can I love God, and then how can we move as a church for God? Instead of worrying about the carpet, the bulletin, these crazy things that we get all wrapped up around, right? And we get confused on what church is. If we look at Matthew 8, 18 through 22, this is a rough verse. When Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross over to the other side of the lake. And then the teacher of the law came to him and said, Teacher, I will follow you and go wherever you go. That's an awesome statement right there. But he knew his heart, so let's look. Jesus replied, Foxes have dens, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Another disciple said to him, Lord, first let me go and bury my Father. But Jesus told him, Follow me and let the dead bury their dead. These seem like it's harsh, right? But let me point some things out here. First off, this last statement, let me go bury my father. This is a tradition of the Jewish people that you stayed home and waited for your father to pass away so you could honor. So who knows within that statement of the disciples saying, listen, my dad's not dead yet, but let me stick around, and I'll follow you, but let me stick around before I do. And the lawyer, the guy that knew the law and said, you know, I want to follow you. Jesus was telling him, this isn't easy. This isn't easy to do church together. This isn't comfortable. There's no place to rest. My idea of church is that we are constantly stressing about God's salvation for other people, for our own, and God moving in us. And it's no longer our needs that we are aware of, it's everybody else's needs that we are. We're not called to be comfortable. It's kind of weird. Luke 14, 25 through 33. Large crowds is kind of the same verse, kind of the same mindset. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own, such a person cannot be my disciple. Doesn't seem like it correlates what Jesus' message is, right? What he's saying there is, listen, the very first person in your heart that you need to be loving, no matter what, is God. Everything else gets put aside. I'm not telling you really to hate these people. What I'm telling you is, if you want to follow me, it takes all of you to follow me. And that means as you walk in these doors, which is a weird concept, when you walk in these doors, it is this mindset, and not how you will be served, but how you will serve God. How you will love God needs to be the question as we join together this morning. It needs to be the thought process as we sit here and we sing songs. How am I loving God in this moment? Am I ready to adjust my heart so he knows how much I adore him? And then it should be self-reflective. What parts of my heart am I not loving God right now? What part am I holding on that I'm saying, God, this is in front of you, and, you know, let's do some bartering, and I want to make sure this is better than this. And that doesn't work that way. You see, what's awesome about God is he fixed this relationship. It's been broken from the moment Adam and Eve ate from the tree. It's been broken. And he sent Jesus to heal it. He's the lone sacrifice. He's the one that makes this possible so we can sit here this morning, be a body of believers ready to move for him because he loves us continually, no matter what. And I'm praising God that he's not one of the ones giving us a Yelp review. That he's not one of the ones that's sitting there with a Google and go, okay, this church, it's a one star this week. You guys were stinkers. You guys really struggled this week. He sees us through the lens of Jesus and says, I love you, and I sent my son to die for you, and that you will know this love and then return this love. Right? Sorry, I skipped through some stuff here. Matthew 22, 30, 36 through 40 says, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, Love the Lord love the Lord your God with all your heart, with your soul and your mind. This is the greatest commandment. There's no, you know, on Sundays and half of Wednesdays, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with your mind. Rest of the week, don't worry about it. You don't see that in there. It's not in there, right? And it's a call for you to love, not just be the recipient of love. Think about that. There's a call on you to love God. I think as a church body, we sit here and we try to discover what that looks like, and we want to perfect the moment that we were overwhelmed by the Spirit and we changed our lives because we believed Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. And those songs that we're saying and the preacher that preached, whatever it was amazing. And we try to capture that moment over and over. And what we try to do as a church body, and I've seen it, and it's not necessarily here. I'm still getting to know you guys. But what we desire is that, okay, I got saved in this moment. So let's bring my buddy who's not saved, and let's get him saved in this moment. And when it doesn't work, you get frustrated. And it must not have been the music. It must not have been the pastor that was in line with God that day. And then we start leaving those Yelp reviews and emails. I'm not saying you guys are doing this. I'm new here. What I'm saying, through my years of ministry, over 20 years of ministry, I've seen this. I've been a part of it. And I've been guilty of it myself. That the focus is on the wrong things. That we think salvation is from that moment, and the salvation is actually from Jesus Christ and nothing else. And I truly believe, I didn't need the music, I didn't need some pastor to be up there to preach it. I truly believe if my heart was in the spot where I was allowing the Holy Spirit to work, I was going to be moved. And I was going to know that God is so powerful, so amazing, so much bigger than us, that I changed my life. I want to change my life. I want to love God the way He's called us to love God with all my heart, mind, and soul. Right? To be church looks like that. Not the pews, not an address, not a steeple, not a building. I'm really disappointed through the years. I looked up, what is church on Google? You can do that anytime you want. It says it's a church building where people come together as Christians to follow God. You can glance over what that definition is, and they've really missed it. When they said it's a building, it's disappointing to me. Because we are confined to this place. There's enough. I might ruffle some feathers this morning. The only thing that makes this holy is God. The only thing that makes this holy is us coming together to worship God. The moments that that's not happening, this is just bricks and mortar and dust and wood, and that's it. There's nothing supernatural about this building. The supernatural is from God that works through you to be the body. And so like Google, if we theologically were sound for years, right, they would know. Church is a body that moves together of these people that love God so much, and they want to share that love with everybody else. Like it beams through them. It's overwhelming. Can you imagine a church when you come together that it's just this church body that goes, I love God. And then he tells us, you know, from other moments, while they were eating, Jesus took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat, this is my body. Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I do not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. That's church. I want to give you a sign, the vision right there in that moment, right? Jesus is having his last supper with his disciples. Some of the verses show that he washed their feet as they came in. First off, what an intense moment to have your Messiah, your rabbi, the person that you look up to, the one that you've just seen do miraculous things. Peter already believing that he's the Messiah, right? And he goes, let me wash your feet. And Peter being the one that loves to stick his foot in his mouth and he basically backed away. You cannot touch my feet. You are my master. You are my Messiah. You are the King of all kings. How can you touch my feet? They're nasty. They're gross. This is below you. And he looked at him and he goes, I cannot know you unless you let me do this for you. Think about that within the context of this right here. The stuff that we hide from God, that we're ashamed of. As a body of believers, we are called to share that with each other. To deal with the shame. To not run from it, to give it to God and know that He's more powerful than any of that stuff that we do. The stuff that dwells in us, that separates us. So Peter's like, oh, okay, then if I won't know you, let's wash every bit of me. Right? We kind of get like that as a church too. We don't know our boundaries sometimes. And Jesus says, no. You've already known me. This is the part of your life that needs to be cleaned. And he sits them down and he cleans their feet, even the one that he knows is going to betray him. Right? Man, church can be so messy, but such a beautiful mess when we come together, when it's about loving God. Church is messy. But when we come together and it's centered around God and breaking his bread, which he's interpreted as sometimes as his word, opening it up and reading his word together. When we drink his blood and we understand what that means and we're covered by his blood for our sins, and we are called to do this now in remembrance of Christ. We're called to sit around a table, sit around here, and every time we get together, we read God's word and we praise God for his salvation. We praise God for sending his son to die on a cross for us. And when we do that, we eliminate the whole thought process that, did I feel God's presence today? That song just didn't stick well with me. That sermon, man, he needs to relearn how to read scripture. He really struggles a lot. Like, that's not the reason we come here. I'm not trying to put myself off the hook. I want to do a good job. I want to be doing my research. I want to be the pastor that I'm called to be. But the reality is, it's not, you don't come here for me. You come here for God. You love, the moment that you walk in these doors, the moment that you shut the door in your house, and the moment that you are getting in your car, you need to be taking those moments, the moment that you open your eyes, you need to be taking those moments and saying, how can I love you today, God? As we break bread and as we drink your wine, how do I love you today? And one of those ways that I love so much is in Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. As a prisoner of the Lord, this is Paul, as a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep unity of the Spirit through your bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. I want to read that. As a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. You've all received a call. I can tell you right now, there is many times that I've needed to be reminded to be completely humble and gentle, to be patient, to bear with one another in love. I've sat around with staff, and I have complained about church people. And it's been easy in my life, and I am convicted of that. Because it puts me on a pedestal the moment that I start doing that. And I forget what God did for me the moment I start whining and complaining about anybody. As a body, we are called to be humble, gentle, loving, bearing each other's pain. In that great commandment, if you remember, I read it a little earlier, to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. There's another part of that that you can't read that without reading, also love your neighbor as yourself. When you read that greatest commandment, it's two, but it's like A1 and A2. To love God also means to love your neighbor. Church, if we want to win people to Christ, guess what they want to see out of you? They want to see you genuinely love God and genuinely love each other. That's what they want to see. Can you imagine? It's not about apologetics. It's not about winning a fight. It's not about winning a debate. It's not about these things, getting on Facebook and going, hey, here's my scripture today. Hopefully somebody gets that and wins them over. Which I'm not saying don't do that. What I'm saying is the world wants to see you love God, and love your neighbor. That's it. That's how it works. For us to be a church, you need to realize we are called to a movement and not an address. We are called to be moving where God is leading us, to love God in all situations, even when they look dire. Do you remember what Paul just said in Ephesians where he was? He was in prison. He was writing that letter in prison. And he was urging those people as a church to be loving. I will tell you, there's probably a reason why he was writing this to Ephesians. They were not a loving church to each other. And he's writing it from a place that he should be able to complain, whine, feel isolated, alone. And what did he do? He loved God. And he was trying to love his neighbor by telling him, this is what it's all about. It's easy to get down in these times. It really is. We look at our world that we live in, and we have to wear these masks, and there's weird isolations, and everybody has their opinions on it. And we live in a weird political time now that is divided families and divided houses and divided just people in general. And we come together as a body, and our biggest thing that unifies us is God. Nothing else. I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat. I don't care about that. God doesn't care about it. What he cares about is he just loves you and that you receive that love. And in that, you love other people. And that unifies us. And everything else flows from that. And it gets messy and it gets gross. And you read scripture and you can see where many times they failed. But God comes along and goes, I'll lift you up. Just bank on me. I'll teach you how to be humble. I will teach you how to be gentle. I will teach you how to love your neighbor. It's just an attitude that you have to adjust. You don't come in here ready to yelp. You come in here ready to love God. It is just an attitude of like switching. That it's not about you to be served, but us to serve God. One of the scariest things in the Western church that we have going on right now is this consumer thought process with God. That I'll come as long as they have this, this, and this. You know, and it's not healthy. It's not healthy. God calls us places that don't have a bed to rest. God calls us to places that is fully evil and unhealthiness, because guess what? He needs you there loving on them and showing the righteousness of God, salvation, showing the unconditional love to the ones that it's tough to love. Why do you think Jesus said, love your enemy? Why do you think Jesus said multiple times, you know, turn your cheek if they want to hit you again? Like, these things are not easy, and they're not moments of like, hey, I'm going to go do this. I know this person's going to yell at me for 3 hours, and I got to just sit there and go, okay, God, how do I love you and love them? That's where you're called. You are called this morning to be the church. Not attend church. You are called to be the church. So this morning, I didn't mean to get heavy on you, my prayer for you this week is to live out Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. Put that on your refrigerator. Live that out this week. Search God for your heart to be gentle and loving and caring. Let's really test this with the people that need it the most, not the ones that it's easy to do. Right? That's kind of cheating. Kind of like putting the training wheels on. I don't think anybody in here needs the training wheels. Love the people that it's hard to love. And love them this way. Be completely humble. What does that look like? be gentle. There's many times that one strikes me hard. Be gentle. Be patient. No. Right? Be patient. Bearing with one another in love. That's carrying our loads with each other. That's letting each other know that you're not alone in this. Whatever doubt you're going through, whatever pain you're going through, whatever issues you have, I love you even though you hate me right now. That's church. Next week, we're going to talk about what it looks like to be a church as disciples. What it means to be a disciple of God. What it means to follow in his footsteps in that movement and not just sitting in these pews acting like a church. Again, this is not me attacking you. This is what God has laid on my heart. You can email me. You can call me. All of my information is right out there. I love to hear it. I love to get with you and talk and hear your story. Honestly, I would love to sit down with any of you and just hear where God's moving in your life. It's okay. I can hear the complaints. I'm a big boy. I can hear, you know, Ben, you need to really learn how to read scripture. I will try. All right? But my biggest thing as a church body is, first off, you're not coming here banking on your own spiritual health being solved in this moment. That you are coming ready to worship God, to love God this morning. Because if you're banking on just this moment, this last hour, this little moment of your week to be the filler of your time with God, good luck. Good luck. Because you're going to feel so burnt out and dried by next Sunday. And if you think that this is always going to be great and perfect, like it's been the last month, it's not. I'm human. I told Michelle, I think it was 2 weeks, maybe even last week, that I was sitting there. It was when your family was here, and they were doing, the gospel group was here that Sunday, and they were just amazing having them up there, right? It was awesome. They were singing. I was like overwhelmed by how good they were, and I got to a point, I was like, please let them mess up. Please let them mess up. Because all of a sudden, I was sitting there and I was going, I don't know what I'm supposed to preach on. I can't think of it. I can't, like, I was having, what, writer's block or just Ben block? I don't know. I was struggling and I was starting to panic in that moment. And I took some breaths and I breathed and I got up here and I don't even remember what I said, but God worked, I hope, right? And I told this to my wife and she goes, well, you had a lot of words that morning. So, again, it's not about me in this moment. It's about God. And I hope and pray that when we come ready to love God. When we wake up, that we're ready to love God. And if we do that, it changes our whole perception as a body of believer coming together, ready to love each other. Ready to be a movement for him and not just an address. Next week, come back. Be ready to hear what it means to be a disciple, what it means to look like a disciple. How does a 2021? I can't even remember. Disciple during COVID, during weird time in life. What does it look like to be a disciple as a church? So come back next week. Let's pray. And go knowing that God loves you. And you're called to love just as he loves you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Lord, I pray that whatever is said up here, whatever is done, dear Lord, that it is to glorify your name. I pray that we are ready to go home and or wherever and just celebrate you. I pray that we can fall in love with you daily. That we have that intimate relationship. The kind of relationship that calls us out when we're being whiny and complaining. The kind of relationship that guides us so that we don't trip and fall. But Lord, also that we realize when we do, when we fail, that you're right there loving us and that you're ready to show all your grace upon us. Lord, I pray that we're ready to be the church that you've called us to be. I pray that our neighbors see that love and are moved by that love. I pray that you start working in our lives so we can see you moving in ways that we never thought could be moved, that you heal relationships, that you mend fences, and that even our neighbors that are true unbelievers and we would never have thought they came to you, that they start making movements towards you and that we recognize that and you start using us in that. Let us be the church that you called us to be. I pray this morning that we are not an address, but more of a movement. We love you, Lord, because you loved us first. May we understand the sacrifice that your Son did for us. May it be real to us. May we understand what the resurrection means for us too, Lord, that we can have new beginnings even this morning. Be with us. May we go in your presence. Amen. See you next week. If you want to call me, reach out to me. My number is right out there on the little information. It has a little picture. I look really good in that picture. Just kidding. Anyway, grab the information. Love to hear from you this week, okay? Have a good Valentine's Day. Yeah.